Scouts of Manitou versus Girl Scouts USA. Mr. Ladig. Where's Mr. Ladig?
Right here. Come in.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I am Gary Leidig on behalf of Manitou Council. Your Honor, I think it's important I first advise Your Honors as the status of what's going on in the District Court. As we state in our brief, immediately following the filing of the appeal in this case, we filed a second motion for preliminary injunction based on the facts that occurred after the judge's order of June 5. And that was that GSUSA did, in fact, do exactly what we had told the district court they were going to do. They voted to remove more than 60% of our jurisdiction. We filed that second motion for preliminary injunction, and I am sorry to say that in the last 90 days, the district court judge has done absolutely nothing on it. So I have instructed my local counsel in Milwaukee this morning to file a notice of appeal from a de facto denial. I am 1 week away from the roof caving in on my client, and we're out of options with the district court.
The roof caving in? What do you mean by that?
Well, Your Honor, I have a business, my client, that is devoted 100% to a single line, a single service, Girl Scouting. And they are about to lose 72% of that business.
What happens if the judge acts on that, say, today? How does that affect what we're doing?
Well, I really truly was hoping he would act on it. And I fully expected he would, just to prevent multiple appeals to this court as an accommodation to this court. If he granted my motion for preliminary injunction, which I hoped he would, because now he would see I wasn't being speculative, that this had in fact happened, then I think it would moot this appeal because now I had obtained the relief I wanted. If he had denied it, which now I have claimed he effectively has done by not doing anything, and Your Honors, you know, I've never spoken one word with this judge. This case now has two motions for preliminary injunction. The judge could be in this courtroom. I don't know who he is. He's never met with the lawyers, never talked to the lawyers, never done anything. So with this de facto denial that essentially, in my mind, merges these two motions, and all it really does is add the facts that have occurred from June 5, and that is the actual fact that GSUSA has voted, and effective 1 week from today, 72% of this business will be gone.
When you say 72% of its business, well, what do you mean? 72% of its cookie sales, or what?
Pretty much everything, Your Honor.
Everything is not helpful. So what are you talking about?
I am speaking somewhat outside the record here because...
Don't speak outside the record. Speak inside the record.
That's why I want to clarify. The appeal before you, we had alleged at least 60%, because that's what GSUSA had told us. That was based on older data, but what that says is they were going to remove 3 or 4 of our counties from the jurisdictional boundary lines. Within those 4 counties were 60% of our girl members, 60% of our adult members, at least 60% of our donors, 60% of all sales from the Girl Scouts for their cookies, product sales.
What do you have, facilities in these counties?
We have, that's the other disturbing part of this. We have an office building which is in the geographic area that is now being taken.
Right, so what happens to the office building?
Well, my clients own it. They're now going to have an office building an hour away from their remaining jurisdiction. They will be physically dislocated from...
Well, will they be permit? So what is this facility? Is this where Girl Scouts go? And I don't know what Girl Scouts do, but is that where they have their meetings or whatever?
Yes, Your Honor.
Girl Scouts go to the meetings at your building? Is that what it is? Their meetings are at your building?
The building tends to be at a higher level. It's not necessarily... Girl Scouts do events there, but it's the administrative offices. They have 17 full-time employees working
there.
Where
do the Girl Scouts... I don't know anything about Girl Scouts. So what do they usually do? Do they meet somewhere else or not meet or... or what are they doing?
Well, Your Honor, I didn't know much about Girl Scouting either till this case, and I think what's clear is that it's, number one, it's big business.
I'm asking something much more down to earth. Where
do they meet?
Where do they meet, exactly?
It's all different levels. At the girl level, at the little Girl Scout level, they would be meeting probably in the basements and kitchens of their troop leaders, mothers and fathers and other volunteers.
In people's homes, this building's your... Now, when they're meeting in the homes, now, they sell the cookies. The girls sell the cookies, right? They don't buy the cookies. Or what? I don't know. Is that what they do? They sell cookies?
The...
Who sells the cookies?
The girl...
That's your big revenue, the cookies.
The girls are the front men. They're the salesmen.
They sell the cookies. Right. Now, will all the cookie revenues, all the sales that these girls make in these counties that are being taken away from you, all those revenues will go to the other council, not to yours? Is that?
Yes, Your Honor.
So that's what you're worried about, the loss of your revenues. What about your supervision of these girls? Is that taken away also?
Yes, Your Honor, we lose...
Have anything to do with the girls in these four counties?
They'll be completely lost to us. And the regulations of Girl Scouting, in fact, prohibit the Girl Scout Council of one jurisdiction from poaching into... You wouldn't want to, from going into another territory.
You have expenses also in these counties that are... Right? It can't be pure profit. You must have some expenses.
Well, sure. For example, the Girl Scout cookie sales net about $1 million a year. I think the gross sales are $1.5 million. So, for example, that's the gross profit is $1 million out of $1.5 million. Again, it's big business.
Losing 60%. You're going to lose 60% of your net revenues from the sales?
Yes, 60% of net revenue, 60% of earnings, and they are profits.
Their sales territory will diminish.
It's being taken away, yes.
How many levels do the Girls Scouts operate on? You have, like Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, for example. You have Cub Scouts, you have Boy Scouts, you have Explorer Scouts. What kind of age levels?
I believe it's girls... I don't know the exact age, but it starts at Brownies, little girls in, I believe, kindergarten, first grade, and it goes all the way up, I believe, if girls wanted to, through high school.
Similar to Boy Scouts.
Oh, yes. And
but they do meet. Do you have any buildings where they that you own where they meet in, or are they all schools or homes?
No, like I said, the day-to-day, the week-to-week type stuff is at a troop leader's home, but the headquarters has substantial meeting office space. The girls do activities there, but even more importantly, we have two camps, a day camp and an overnight long-term camp.
And those are within the current...
Those will also be in the territory that's being taken away.
But that's not uncommon, is it?
Actually, it is, Your Honor, and again...
Don't a lot of the councils have properties outside of their own...
We're not aware of any if they do. And, in fact,
You own the camps.
We own the camps.
So they're not taking them away from you.
They're not taking them away, but we will lose the use of those camps. For example, Your Honor, in Wisconsin, there's been an alliance among all the councils. They've been very cooperative with one another in the past, and they all share a brochure, and they all say, come to our camps, and they advertise it generally. Huge percentage. I don't know the exact number, but I want to say it's above 80%, maybe even 90%. Of the camps are attended to only by girls within that particular jurisdiction. It's the nature of what they do. So these are going to be two camps that are going to hung out there without their base. And for example, in the blue book, if you look in there, and some of the requirements that are placed on Girl Scouts is without the permission of the adjoining councils or those other jurisdictions, they can't go and advertise for girls in other parts of the state or country to come to our camp. You just advertise in the first instance, and you push your camps to your girls.
Didn't initially, though, your council agree with this sort of merger idea?
No. The Girl Scouts briefs say it over and over and over again that we agreed never. And it was a constant rubbing against GSUSA attempts to force my council to sign documents that would force them to agree. that my counsel finally said, no, we're not going to sign it. So there was no agreement. There is no counterclaim in this case that there's any breach of agreement by us. It's a phony.
This is a nationwide reorganization, isn't it?
It is a nationwide reorganization.
And your counsel is the only one of all the 300-some counsels that's opposing it?
It is the only one that is presently filing a lawsuit. I know of others, Your Honor, that are not happy with what's going on. But I think what's critical here, Your Honor, is we were focusing on the cookie sales and revenues. We cannot overlook the infrastructure of the and truly the goodwill here.
Where's your headquarters located? What city? I mean, we keep talking.
Sheboygan.
Sheboygan,
and their remaining councils all going to be in the county south of Sheboygan.
How many councils will be there be in Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula?
If Girl Scouts USA has their way with their reorganization, it's going to be a reduction from, I believe, it's a total of 15 down to 3.
Doesn't the Blue Book or your charter retain in Girl Scouts USA the authority to change your jurisdiction at any time?
They do, but that's our breach of contract claim. They have the right to address changes in jurisdiction if, and this is the big if, adjoining councils first initiate the process, or some community initiates the process saying, gee, you know, we think this school district or this block should be not there, but over here. And in those situations, and it's very clear, it's in bold letters in the Blue Book, it says, note, this process can be initiated by a council, multiple councils, or by a community. That's what starts the process. There's absolutely nothing in that Blue Book that says Girl Scouts can unilaterally start chipping away at jurisdiction. Now, I will submit that at the beginning of each charter period, councils generally are identified at that point. But there's that whole process in the Blue Book. I think of the Blue Book as being sort of the employee handbook. You have the charter, which is relatively narrow in scope of establishing the party's rights. The Blue Book then gets into great detail as to how charters can be canceled, why they can't be renewed, how jurisdictions can be changed. And it's those processes, those rules, those regulations that have just been thrown out the window here. And what I wanted to get to, because I think it is important, is besides just the revenue, if we were just talking about a revenue loss, we could calculate that. But we're talking about the loss of thousands of volunteers, people whose goodwill truly belongs to our council. We're talking about donors who have been nurtured and nursed. I mean, I don't know if any of your honors are on boards of not-for-profits, but you know how difficult it is to establish relationship with donors, to keep those donors coming on board.
Did you argue breach of contract in the district court?
Oh, absolutely, Your Honor. It's our count two, and in our initial brief, we identify it as one of the bases upon which we are seeking preliminary injunctive relief.
To get back to this as you're speaking, how many headquarters, which relates to donor, where their loyalties lie and so forth, and volunteers, how many headquarters of councils are there in Wisconsin?
Well, I believe each of the 15 has a headquarters.
And the problem is, for us anyway, you're referring to them by whatever name it is, rather than the city, which might better identify it geographically for us.
Well, I apologize. My council is focused in Sheboygan, and it has kind of the circle of counties in that area. It doesn't go all the way up to Green Bay. It stops below Green Bay, and it stops above Milwaukee. And since I'm an Illinoisan, I'm not as good at this as I should be. But it's that general area, north of Milwaukee, south of Green Bay.
That's part of the problem. The volunteers identify with a particular city that is the headquarters for their council, perhaps, and the volunteer is the same way. They're geographically oriented.
Oh, absolutely. And that was the reason my women in the board did not want to do this, and they thought it was bad for the council.
Are any of the employees in the council employees of Girl Scouts USA, or are they all district or a council?
It's all council. Right? This is the classic franchise. 100% of the risks of this business are on this council. GSUSA
has. How about the decision makers, the board that made the decision to reduce the number of councils? How is that made up?
The the board at the national level. I don't know how they obtain their directors, quite honestly.
It's
like a national corporate board. They're muckety-mucks from around the country, lawyers, bankers, insurance people. Thank you, Your Honor. I'll save my whatever few little time I have for rebuttal.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Jones?
Could you set up the structure that made the decision to reduce 300 or whatever it is, councils, to 109?
It was part of the core strategy, the reduction in, and I'm going to answer your question, Your Honor, but I do want the focus to be where it needs to be here. What the court is doing is reviewing a district court's decision to deny.
Answer his question.
I will, Your Honor.
No, answer it now.
Is addressing his decision. He was looking at the council decision of the Girl Scouts of the USA.
Well, let's get back to the question I asked, and then you can go where you want to go.
Right, in which I'm answering, Your Honor. The Girl Scout Council, the Girl Scouts of the USA, initiated a core strategy and looked at the falling membership in Girl Scouts across the country. 7% reductions. This is detailed at SA 154 to about 158. Looked at the falling membership. Looked at the difficulty in trying to manage 300 councils across the country and the donor base. And
of course, the falling membership wasn't in every council and wasn't in every state, was it?
It wasn't necessarily in every council.
Initial question is, who is the body that made the decision?
The Girl Scouts of the USA had a core strategy team comprised, and they initiated or included memberships and participations from councils across the country. And to answer your question specifically, you asked, did they ever agree to demand it to? Yes, they did. If you look at Supplemental Appendix 105.
Tell me again who's on the board that made the decision. Members from the council? Are there other? Who else?
The leadership of the Girl Scouts of the USA, they have, a realignment coordinator. They participated with and this is detailed again at SA 154.
Look, try to be very simple. The question is, what is the decisional authority in the Girl Scouts USA? Is it a board of directors? And if so, what are the, you know, who makes up the board? Not the individuals, but how are board members designated?
Board members are designated and made up through elections. There are national elections. There's a national board that's elected by councils, and this board administers Girl Scouting throughout the country.
What is the body from which they're elected?
From volunteers, just people who put themselves forward to forward the Girl Scout mission from all over the country. This is volunteer activity, and to hear the little Girl Scouts described as front men is...
No. Well, I think the question is, what is the electorate?
Right,
who is eligible to vote for a member of the board of directors of the Girl Scouts of America?
I will, if I could, I may consult with co-counsel for 2 seconds, and I can get you an accurate answer.
Sorry.
Thank you, Your Honor. Council delegates. The councils have delegates that participate and have a voice in the composition of the overall GSUSA council.
And your position is that the board of directors has the authority to realign these boundaries and eliminate councils and so on. Is that your position?
Exactly, Your Honor. And I'll point you specifically, if you look at Supplemental Appendix 77, that describes Section 4 when there is a proposed realignment is opposed by a council. It details at SA 77 the process that Girl Scouts will go through to deal with that opposition. There are realignments that are not opposed. The question was, isn't this a nationwide realignment? Yes, it is. And that belies.
Well, Mr. Ladig said that you could only have this realignment after the neighboring councils had negotiated and disagreed.
Well, in this particular instance, there's a disagreement and there has been an invocation of the Section 4 process.
He was arguing, based on the Blue Book, that there's a procedure you have to follow where, and that there has to be a, the disagreement has somehow to be generated from the bottom before the national body can intervene.
That's right, and that's the Section 4 process detailed at Supplemental Appendix 77.
So you're saying that was complied with here?
That was complied with. That was because there was an opposition to what Girl Scout Council had was proposing to do with the realignment. That triggered the Section 4 process that's detailed at SA 77 and Girl Scout.
This the Wisconsin Fair Dealership statute, and why is it you think it's inapplicable? Because apparently it's conceded that it can apply to a nonprofit organization. So why not to the Girl Scouts viewed as a kind of cookie McDonald's?
Well, I have two Girl Scouts or daughters who were Girl Scouts. They are not front men for any organization.
I'm not talking.
So it's fundamentally.
But it goes to talking about front men. Can't you be more direct?
I certainly can. It is not a for-profit commercial activity.
I know it's not for-profit and commercial, but that isn't required by the statute.
The statute talks about business relationships. It is predicated on the notion of business relationships.
You could have a nonprofit business, right? Can't you? Are you saying that nonprofits are exempt from the Fair Dealership Act?
I'm not saying that, and more importantly, the district court didn't say that. The district court ruled.
Look, you're wandering off. Look,
Your Honor, I'm directing.
You're wandering off. My question is: are nonprofit organizations? I don't care what the district judge said. Is it your view that nonprofit organizations have a blanket exemption from the Fair Dealership Act?
As I said before, no, they do not.
Then what is it about the Girl Scouts that makes them exempt?
What makes them exempt is that they are a service, an education, and an experiential organization.
Well,
they are not.
Where's the exemption for those organizations?
The exemption is, and now the court is sitting in its eerie capacity. It has to look to the Wisconsin Supreme Court for guidance as to how to understand the statute. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court has consistently said we are not going to expansively interpret the term dealership. It has said we're going to take a common sense approach.
Well, what would be an organization analogous to the Girl Scouts where the Wisconsin Supreme Court or some other court has said this is not within the scope of the act, even though it has sales?
Well, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has at least on two occasions said that certain vendor-vendee relationships, even though there were sales,
no,
didn't.
That's not my question. My question is there some analogous organization which has been held to be exempt?
No, this has never been applied or even asked to be applied to a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout or a Rotary Club.
We're not talking about Girl Scouts. We're talking about analogous organizations, some other kind of service organization, whatever you want, that has sales. So has any cases arisen which such an organization was claimed to be governed by this statute and a court said, no, you're not governed, and then gave a reason?
Not like that, no. It has said, though, what we find even more significant, it has said that even traditional for-profit companies that have what look like vendor-vendee relationships that could be within the statute are not within the statute because there wasn't a community of interest, because they would impinge on freedom of contract. The Kanye case goes through and talks about this in detail. And in the same way, the Girl Scouts have an associational freedom that should be respected, as do other organizations.
So you say there is an analogous organization. There is an organization which has been held, which has sales, but it's been held to be outside the act. Is that what you're saying?
Not an analogous organization. It has no court. And there are 15 states with these. No, there are no analogous organizations that have been before the court.
Look. There have been organizations, haven't there, that have sales, but were held not to be subject to the act?
Kanya.
Okay, so what was it about that organization, concretely, that exempted it?
In that case, it was an independent contractor relationship between, in that instance, a deliverer of airborne and then that was Forrester, actually. In Kanya, it was the Forrester was the jobber for a manufacturer. And because the jobber worked not just for a manufacturer but for other manufacturers, the court said, well, you don't have the tight relationship that we're going to say is required for a dealership.
But these sales of these girls selling cookies, they're not selling for other suppliers.
They're selling for Girl Scouts.
McDonald's is selling for McDonald's. I don't understand. What's the difference?
Girl Scouts are raising funds. They're not selling. They're not making a profit. They are fundraising.
Funds. I don't understand you.
They are.
And now you say non-profit. You've already agreed that the fact that they don't have profits in a commercial sense isn't critical.
No, I didn't agree with that. I said we aren't saying that a non-profit organization is blanket exempt. We're saying that, in fact, the courts have said an analysis of profits is a relevant consideration when you're looking at the community of interest.
That's one consideration. What else is there that you have going for you?
Well, I think it's a fairly powerful notion that 15 states have laws like this, and no state has ever said that service organizations like Girl Scouts.
No state has ever said the opposite, right? It's a fresh issue.
No one would even think to include it. And just as importantly, when the Wisconsin Supreme Court talked about the type of entities that would be covered by the dealership law, they talked about traditional commercial relationships, gas stations, lumber yards, athletic facilities.
These are all profit-making companies, and yet you say there is no blanket exemption for nonprofits.
There is no blanket exemption, Your Honor, but the Supreme Court has said that we have to look at the purpose of the statute, who is it's intended to cover.
But look, the purpose of the statute is to prevent franchisors from pulling the rug out from under franchisees. The franchisees make a big investment in the goodwill of the franchisor, and then the franchisor says, thank you very much, now I'll take away your franchise. That's in essence what these fair dealership laws are about. Now, that's what your opponent is arguing. He's saying, look, we have this big investment, we have these buildings, camps, all this stuff, and now they're pulling the rug out from under us. Made this big investment, sold all these cookies, and now, you know, our business is going to be cut to the bone. So why is that different from any other franchise operation?
Well, because they aren't going to lose.
Franchise distributors of cookies, right?
They are not franchise distributors of cookies.
What are they?
They are Girl Scouts. They are. Well, you may laugh at that, Your Honor, but
I'm laughing at it because it doesn't say any. It doesn't address the legal issue.
Well, it does because
Girl Scouts.
They are not out there as sales members of some sales force for a jobber. They are Girl Scouts.
They're not the plaintiffs. The plaintiff is a big company. It happens to be a nonprofit company, but it's worth millions, and it depends critically on these sales, and it's using the Girl Scout, you know, logo and so on. So it's like a dealership.
But to get a preliminary injunction, they have to show that they're going to be harmed in this before adjudication.
That's a separate issue. I'm talking about the merits, not about the harm.
Right, the merits, and because of based on the realignment, nothing's going to happen to.
That's a different point. Don't you understand?
You understand,
Your
Honor.
The merits. We know all about the arguments about the irreparable harm. It's the merits, which didn't come up in Mr. Ladig's argument. That's what I'm asking you.
In the merits, I'm addressing that because you said that a franchisor would invest in all this stuff and then it would lose it because the franchisor is removed. A change in jurisdiction is not going to cause them to lose any property. Is not going to cause them to sell.
Wait.
They don't have to sell a thing
I don't understand you. If their revenues, aren't their revenues going to fall with their smaller territory?
That assumes that they will not more vigorously mine the territory that they're left to make up. If you want to talk about it in franchise terms, they will be left with a territory, and they will have an ability to derive revenues because their territory has shrunk, their expenses will have shrunk. So they will have an opportunity to still...
Well, the same argument can be made in any franchise case. Well, right? You shrink a franchisee's territory and you say, all right, your territory is smaller, now you're going to have to work harder.
Well, and in any franchise case, a grantor has the ability to make system-wide changes.
Let me ask you about the buildings and the campgrounds.
Yes, Your Honor.
What about the building? If they'll be not, that their headquarters building will no longer be in their district their council?
That's correct, Your Honor, but it will be the same distance from its remaining jurisdiction as it is now. mean, it's got Girl Scouts now that live in the other counties that will stay with it, in Dodge, in Washington, in Osaka counties.
It will be located in a different council, right?
It will, but again, it will be located in a different city. But, Your Honor, it's simply the administrative functions that go on from a Girl Scout.
I understand that, but isn't that a little odd, the way that things operate, to have your headquarters and somebody else's council?
It is probably not the usual. It's not usual. It's certainly the case that councils, to answer your question, Judge, there are councils with campgrounds and other facilities outside their councils. That's in the record at SA 152. So this is not unprecedented that you would have facilities.
No, I wasn't talking so much about the campground. Talk about their headquarters.
Right, the headquarters would be outside. That is unusual. But, it's not imposing any greater burden on those Girl Scouts that would remain in the territory. By definition, they have the same distance from Sheboygan as they do now, the ones in Dodge and in Washington and Ozaukee counties. So,
okay, thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Ladig, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Thank you, Your Honors. Your Honor, with regard to the merits on the WFDL, I think counsel's inability to articulate why there's an exemption highlights the issue here. And I think this court summed it up in Home Protective Services, where there are two critical aspects the court looks at, and that is the percentage of revenues and profits the alleged dealer derived from the guarantor. Well, that's 100% in this case. And two, the amount of time and money an alleged dealer has sunk into the relationship. That's 100% in this case. So if we look at those two criteria, and then the leading Wisconsin Supreme Court case, Ziegler, it has a list of 10, 12, 13 criteria that it runs down. Revenues, profits, use of the mark, amount of time employees spend on the particular product. It's every one of those questions is 100%. I've never had a dealer case where it so clearly met the definition. Because it's not like the cases they're relying on where it wasn't a dealer, but those were sales rep cases. And that's early on in the development of Wisconsin Fair Dealership Law. The courts were trying to figure out whether a sales rep should get the protections under the statute. And that's where all of these cases came up with trying to get a grip on what community of interest means.
Before you leave, I wanted to bring up what exactly was it you filed in the district court?
A second motion for preliminary injunction, highlighting and bringing to the district court's attention the fact that what we had said was going to happen did in fact happen, and that
what precisely? What happened that you said would happen?
That on June 15th, the Girl Scouts of the United States of America Board of Directors passed a resolution requiring the loss of our jurisdiction, giving it to another council, and mandating that occur 1 week from today on September 15th. Now, I may have gotten cut off.
I don't see that as a basis for a new motion for preliminary injunction. I don't understand that. The judge didn't say he didn't believe this was going to happen, did he?
Yeah, actually, it was part of his. He didn't emphasize it, but as part of his rationale, he called what we were doing was speculative.
I see.
And, Your Honor, if I could just finish my one thought, and again, I don't remember if I said this or not, but because I felt we couldn't wait, we filed a notice of appeal this morning on that second motion for preliminary injunction. And when I walk out of here, I'm going back to my office to see if the printers have come up with it. We have a FRAP 8 motion seeking a injunction pending that appeal. And I just wanted to alert you to it. It's not part of what's here today, but it clearly will be sitting in the clerk's office relating to this case within an hour or so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.